Morning, church. How are you all? Good, good to see you. You know, Caroline said something really powerful this morning about how there's an atmosphere of faith, or spirit of faith, he said. And I just really want to hone in on that, even just with Pastor Stephen and the way that he was praying. You know, I definitely sense that there is that atmosphere of faith. We've just come from conference in the Gold Coast, C3 National Conference, and Pastor Phil Pringle, who is the founder of the movement, he did an altar call for people who wanted faith, a spirit of faith. And that's one of the ones that I went up for, because I've always found the faith thing challenging, as in, you know, I always, when I'm praying, Lord, give me more faith. But I really do believe that there is a spirit of faith in this place, and the Lord wants to awaken that in all of us, that we would stand in faith. We are called people of faith. We are believers. We've had encounters with the Lord Jesus. That's the reason why we're all seated here. So I just want to pray, you know, before I go in. I don't know how much of the message I'll go through looking at the time, but I really want to just kind of pray. So if we can just, please, just let's just stand and just pray. Let's engage. Let's bring our faith in and just really, like, believe the Lord. Whatever it is that you're believing the Lord for this morning, I don't want to be the only one speaking, so we're just going to pray. So if you just begin to pray right now into your situation, whatever it is that you are believing the Lord for, Father, we thank you that we woke up this morning. We thank you that you are the God of the impossible. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who opens doors. We thank you, Lord, that you are the way maker. We thank you that you are a faithful God. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the beginning and the end. You are the author of life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are indeed the beginning and the end. All things begin with you and end with you. So this morning, Lord, we come to you together in faith, believing that nothing is impossible. All things are possible for him who believes. So, Father, we come to you this morning as your children with our different circumstances, Lord, with all the things that we need, Father. You are the one who can open up doors for us. Lord, where else can we go but to you, Lord? We thank you that you are a good God. You are a faithful God. Lord, we thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, I pray against every arrow that has been sent to anyone in this place, any arrow of the enemy that has been sent to destroy them. For we know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But you came that we may have life, and life more abundantly. I pray, Father, for everyone here who has lost their voice, that, Lord, they would get their voice back. Father, that they would speak the word of the Lord in due season, oh God. I thank you, Father, the people who have forgotten the dreams that the Lord has given them, that the things that have been put on the shelf, that now is the time to take those things off of the shelf, that they would not think that their time has passed. Your time has not passed. Now is the time to declare the word of the Lord over yourself, over your marriage, over your children, over your family, over your church, over your community. We thank you, Father, there is a spirit of faith, and we will stand all together believing that nothing is impossible for him that believes. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Holy are you and worthy of praise. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, that there would be a release. Everyone, Lord, whose throat, Father, is blocked. Everyone whose voice, Lord, has been silenced. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you be loosed, so you would speak the word of the Lord in due season. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. We are people of faith. We are people of faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Please take your seats. Jesus. So we just got back last night from the Gold Coast. We were there for a week. Like I said, we were at the National Conference. And this is always a very useful time of personal reflection when we go to conference. You know, we connect with other C3 churches. We see people we haven't seen maybe in a year. And it's an opportunity to revisit and align with the vision of C3 as a whole. And it's great because you've got, you know, Pastor Chris and Phil Pringle, they're the founders, and you've got, you know, different regional directors. So it's kind of like, you know, all the leaders that we encounter throughout the year, everybody's there all at once. So it's quite a special time. One thing that was really interesting for me was just the passion in the place. The passion for the Lord, the conversations that people were having, the atmosphere, the vision. There's a vision that they, you know, has been kind of reiterated in the last 2 years, which is about C3 focusing on life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. That is the vision. That they want to have 100 life-giving churches within the next 10 years. That's the vision. So that's what they're working towards. But for myself, you know, I had a moment before even the conference began where I felt the Lord draw me to go and pray. And, you know, so I was just unsettled. I was still in the room and we were sitting at the table with the family. And I just had to leave and go and pray, because I recognize that feeling where the Lord is stirring you about something. And I thought I knew why the Lord was stirring me. I thought I knew it was because God wanted me to pray and intercede, because there was something about to happen somewhere. And that was because that's what has happened in the past when I sensed that stirring. So I went and I prayed, waiting and believing that God is doing something about something coming up. But when I got there and I started praying, the tears came. I broke down in tears. And I heard the Lord say, "What happened to you? And where is the fire? Where is the fire?" And I was reminded of how I was when I first gave my life to the Lord, how passionate I was, how radical I was as an 18-year-old. What happened to you? And I wonder this morning whether that's something you can reflect on. Where is the fire? You know, when you've been in church for a while, you get used to doing church, Sunday in, Sunday out. You believe. The issue is not your belief. The issue is, where is the fire? What happened to you? Where is the passion? I want to read from Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 15, and I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "And he himself," this is the Lord Jesus Christ, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I won't go on to the rest of it, because I just wanted to focus on the part that says, "for the equipping of the saints." At the beginning of the year, Pastor Stephen talked about the mandate of our church. And he said, the mandate of our church is to equip people for discipleship, to be disciples who live in deep relationship with God, and that from that place become disciple makers. And he talked about how this requires surrender, obedience, and perseverance. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Discipling Laborers. Discipling Laborers. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38 reads,
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." If we are to closely look at this moment, we have an atmosphere where great things are happening. Miracles are taking place. It says every sickness and every disease, he was healing it, every. And yet, the Lord Jesus has a moment where he stops and reflects because something doesn't sit right with him. This gathering that he's been teaching and healing of every disease pulls at his heartstrings. He feels for them. In this one passage, we see the Lord identify a people who need to be ministered to. It says they are weary and scattered, and they need direction because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Then we see him make a very powerful statement. He sees something that many of us may not necessarily see when we look at people, when we're interacting at home, when we're interacting in the supermarket, when we're interacting in the workplace, when you look at the crowds. He sees beyond the excitement of the miracles in the place. And here's what it is. He calls them the harvest. The harvest. I wonder this morning, the people that are surrounding us, the people that we interact with on a day to day, can we see that these are the harvest that the Lord is speaking about? Everything around them is great. There's miracles, there's excitement, there's success. They're living successful lives, but he still sees them as the harvest. Then he offers a solution, which is prayer for more workers, for laborers, not just disciples. You see, you and I are disciples, but he's not asking that we pray for just disciples, but laborers to go out and do the work. Just because I am a follower of Christ does not mean that I am a laborer. That I am a worker in the field. That takes intentionality on my part. If you know anything about labor, whether it's through birthing a child or doing manual labor or any type of work, you'll know that labor generally is painful. It can be messy. It can be time consuming. And in fact, you may not even know how long it's going to take to get the results. Labor. As laborers, we really are to actively spread the gospel. As laborers, we are to care for spiritual growth, not of ourselves, but not just ourselves, but those that are around us. And as laborers, we are to serve the community. I read an article that really challenged me recently. It said, if any Christian is not involved in gospel ministry, it is not because there is nothing for him to do. Rather, is that he has chosen to sit on the sidelines instead of joining in the work that surrounds them. And this left me with the question of why would we, disciples who love Jesus and have been transformed by him, sit on the sidelines? What makes us do that? And I believe the answer lies in that we often overcomplicate what it takes to be a laborer. We overthink it. So some key highlights I got from the conference that I believe can help us answer this question and move towards our church mandate of equipping is what I want to share. So I'm just going to get this. There was different speakers, and I just want to share the quote what they said. Number one, never underestimate what you are doing as you consistently serve and love people. Never underestimate what you are doing as you consistently serve and love people. Consistently loving and serving. The Bible tells us in Galatians to not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We are to equip people to know that discipleship cannot be void of servanthood or love. Jesus loved and served people and still does to this day, and we need to keep doing it over and over and over again. And I have seen it in this church. People serve, people love, and they keep doing it over and over, Sunday to Sunday. Sometimes, you know, I feel a bit bad because you've got people who are going every Sunday. It's the same people doing the same thing. But that's people making sure that they do not stop doing good. And the Lord sees that. And that consistency will go a long way. That's the laboring. So when we talk about loving and serving, what does that look like? You know, over the years for myself, I can say that I knew that I was loved in my connect groups, through my leaders, through family. How did I know? They took the time to plant the necessary seeds into my life, to teach, to correct, to encourage. They gave up their gifts. Because the thing is, love takes action over and over again. Serving people will inconvenience you. That's a fact. It will cost you, and it will frustrate you until it no longer does. And then you will see God work in the hearts and lives of the people as they see you love them. And as you begin to love, when God transforms your heart, so you're loving people, God is doing something to their heart. But at the same time, he's doing something to your heart. Next thing I heard was this. He builds his church through the ordinary and the divine. He builds his church through the ordinary and the divine. You know, and the speaker spoke about how she'd be on her way to church to preach. And she's trying to get into the headspace. And she's got kids at the back of the car. And all they want is the Wiggles. She's wanting to put worship and get in the zone. But kids want the Wiggles. Which way do you go? They're crying. And I could relate because Sunday mornings are always interesting. Something always happens. Wardrobe malfunctioning. Right? Being late, even though you try to wake up as early as you can. We saw it with David in the ordinary. David was on his way to give lunch to his brothers when he encountered Goliath. He got into his assignment around Goliath. We saw it with Gideon. He was in the wine press and the angel appeared to him. It's in the ordinary. Don't be discouraged by how ordinary your life feels. In those ordinary moments, God moves. If you would have that surrendered and obedient heart, expecting God to move. Next, I want to talk about the truth that sets you free. It was said that we must develop a heart to love people into freedom in Jesus. We must develop a heart to love people into freedom in Jesus. If we are going to be a church that equips people to be laborers, we are to equip them to know that as a disciple maker, as a laborer, part of demonstrating love is having people's freedom in mind. When you interact with people, have their freedom in mind. When we're discipling people, whether through one-on-one or connect group or whichever way it comes, understand what people's pain points are. Are they dealing with unforgiveness? Are they dealing with trauma? Are they dealing with grief or addiction? Jesus saw people who were weary and scattered. And that's who he called the harvest. As a laborer working in the field, how have you made room in your life for other people's pain? We may not all be counselors, but we can all listen. We can all take time to sit with someone. Jesus had compassion on them. We all have that same compassion. It's in these moments that we get opportunities to illuminate God's love. Another thing that I heard was that this question: are there mindsets that I am carrying that are preventing me from stepping into the greatest harvest? Mindsets are very powerful. Are there mindsets that I am carrying that are preventing me from stepping into the greatest harvest? You know, the Lord Jesus was constantly challenging people's attitudes. Attitudes that looked spiritual outwardly, but they prevented people from actually experiencing transformation. And I want to focus on two this morning. Number one, fear-based Christianity. Fear-based Christianity. Serving God mainly out of fear of punishment, rejection, or failure. And the thing is, fear often prevents bold faith, evangelism, generosity, obedience, all the things that we're trying to work towards. Fear will stop you in your tracks. Secondly, unbelief and small expectations. That's why this morning I started with that prayer, because we want to look and challenge our expectations. What are we believing God for? Our expectations, are they small? Limiting what God can do because of disappointments, past failures. Years ago, I was in a church in Canberra that I eventually left. And the reason I left it is because women were not allowed to speak on stage. Women were not allowed to lead worship. Yes. But it was a thing that people, lots of people believed. But that's a mindset that then affects what you can do, how you step into the things of God. Pastor Phil Pringle said this: you solve a problem by turning the light of truth on. If you have a problem, any type of problem, turn the light of truth on. For most of us, we've learned many incorrect things and continue to carry these mindsets that once made sense to us, but no longer make sense and no longer serve us. When I was 18 years old, I gave my life to Christ. Before I went up to give my life to Christ, there was a lady sitting next to me, and she was speaking in tongues, and I didn't know what tongues were. So I moved away from her because I thought she was strange. Then I went for the altar call. I gave my life, and then three times after that, I tried to pray, the only prayer I knew, which was Our Father who art in heaven. And all those three times, when I got to the third line, I started speaking in this strange language, speaking in tongues. So I stopped praying. I went back to my home country, because this was in South Africa. I went back to Botswana, to my church, which didn't believe in speaking in tongues. I went to a Bible study, and I shared my experience. I was excited. I said, this is what happened to me. They said to me, that is demonic. Tongues, demonic. That was the experience I just had. So I stopped praying in tongues for a very long time, until I came to Australia and I ended up in a church where they spoke in tongues. And then I started doing it again. I'm talking about mindsets and the things that can stop the flow of God in your life. We carry truth, and we have a responsibility to bring it to the people we are discipling. I want to leave this as a takeaway message for you. We're not just followers of Christ looking to get to heaven. We are laborers, recognizing that there is a harvest ready for us to do our part. We are laborers. We must be intentional about loving people into freedom. When you're interacting with people, always be thinking, where is the gap in their freedom? And where do I come in? What is it that I carry? What is it that I'm gifted with that will help bring them to that freedom? Is it your kindness? Is it your prayers? Is it your hospitality? Is it your time? Is it your testimony? What is the truth that you carry that will set them free? I was recently at a women's events conference at a different church. And I was sat next at a table with two ladies. And I started sharing my testimony with them, which I haven't done. I was just telling them how I came to the Lord, how I was nearly shot, but I didn't know because I didn't understand the language of the people who were trying to do that. How the Lord spoke to me and directed me to a police station where I ended up finding all my documents that I had lost. How I ended up at a place because the Lord directed me, the Holy Spirit directed me, and I ended up in a room that I wasn't supposed to be there, where I found out that I was actually meant to be coming to Australia, but I wouldn't have found out if I had not heard the Holy Spirit say, go to that place. So I was sharing the testimony with them, and they were amazed. And because they were amazed, I was amazed. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that this is still a big deal. Your testimony, no matter how many times you've told it, is still a big deal. Because it's how people come to see the power of the Lord Jesus and what he does in people's lives. So some key things to help us labor well. The Bible tells us Christ is the foundation that has been laid. No other foundation can be laid but the foundation of Christ. And that we are co-workers with him. We are asked to pray for the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest, not us. So I say all of this to say the work has been done already. We don't have to strive. We just have to be obedient. So as you stand up, I ask you this. What is the Lord asking you to be obedient about? As you labor, you're not just a disciple. You are a laborer. What is the Lord asking you to labor into? I know there may be people this morning who have not encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a laborer can only be sent if he or she is willing to do the work, to be surrendered and be in a relationship with Christ. So I just want to take a moment to just, if you could just close our eyes, I just want to give people an opportunity who've never done this to connect with this Christ that we're talking about. Because before I can become a laborer, or I must be a disciple, before I can be a disciple, I must commit my life. So this morning, I'm just going to pray, and if you could pray after me, this prayer, which connects you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins, because I know that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you are the Son of God. So this morning, I surrender to you. Take my life and do what only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still with every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, could I please just see your hand for the very first time? Thank you. I see you, Bert. Brett. Still with every eye closed. if you know that you are a disciple, but you are not a laborer, you've not placed yourself in that position because of fear of, or because of any other preconceived ideas, please take the time to come up to the front so we can pray for you. You're a disciple, but not a laborer. You're overthinking it. This is your opportunity to come for prayer. Because it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that you are good to us. Why are you so good to me? Thank you, Jesus, for the foundation that's already been laid. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your children, Lord. And I pray for every single person in this place, Lord, as they go out today, Lord, that they would remember, Lord, that they are laborers, but that the work has already been done, the foundation has already been done, that they are co-workers. I pray, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit to minister to their hearts as they step out in faith, Lord, to show love, to show kindness, to use their gifts, Father. May your Holy Spirit be their guide. May they be sensitive to you. May they have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.